This summer, we're preaching on hot topics. That goes with summertime and hot, you know, that kind of thing. And last week, and these are topics that are biblical, but are often not discussed for various reasons. But people, it's funny, you know, the topics that are not discussed are often the things that people struggle with the most and the things that they want to have Bible answers for. So we're going to be doing some of that this summer as we're going through the summer with our Bibles. And today, we're going to talk about the Sabbath. Now, you would think that the Sabbath would be something that everybody would all be in agreement about. But the Sabbath is one of the hottest topics in Adventism and among Christians in general. Not specifically maybe about the day, but about how you keep that day. How do you keep Sabbath? How you do it? So we're going to take a look at that today. And we're piggybacking on what we talked about last week. Those of you who are able to be here, you remember last week we talked about the difference between a universal truth, something that is true for everyone, everywhere on the face of the globe. We mentioned the Ten Commandments, for example. It is not God's will for murder to be committed by any person anywhere on this planet. Stealing is something that no person should do. To lie is something that is universally taboo all over the world. There are universal truths that God has given to us that are true for everyone, everywhere, no matter what their culture or country of origin may be. But then there are truths in the Bible that we would call conditional. They apply to certain people in certain situations, but don't necessarily apply to other people in other situations. And you have to take a look at those from the principles. There's a difference between a black and white statement and a principle. So, for example, love is the greatest principle of all. And to love someone is something that is very important and intrinsic to every person on the planet. But how you show that love, that can be different. And what's appropriate in one place is not appropriate in another. So, for example, when I was pastoring in the Mid-Columbia region of Oregon, I pastored the Hood River Church for a while, I met a very interesting man who was from Chile. He was speaking English quite well, but he was still learning some English, and he was only been in the United States for maybe 6-8 months. His wife had just recently joined him, and she spoke no English at all. But I got acquainted with him at a health meeting and found out, and he came because he wanted to learn how to cook more vegetarian stuff, see? Because he was a horticulturalist in Chile, and they taught him in the process of getting his training, they taught him the difference between carnivore teeth and herbivore teeth and omnivore teeth and all that sort of thing. So one day when he was brushing his teeth, it hit him. I wonder what kind of teeth I have. Am I a carnivore or am I an herbivore? And so he looks in the mirror, you know, and, you know, takes a look at his teeth. And he discovered on the basis of scientific evidence that his teeth, human teeth, are vegetarian teeth. So on the basis of his studies at the university in Chile, he decided to be a vegetarian. So then when he saw the little flyer, he came to our church. And he wanted to know more, so we agreed to have Bible studies. And so in my very limited Spanish, I'm trying to help them find verses. And she's learning English while I'm trying to give a Bible study to somebody from Chile. And I think it was a miracle that they got baptized. And to this day, I always wondered if she really knew what she was getting into. But eventually, I did baptize them both. And their little girl, Monica, is now a pastor's wife serving here in North America somewhere. And I'm not sure just where right now. But a great family, great story. So in the process, though, of getting acquainted with them, we invited them to our home for a Sabbath lunch one day. And they came to our home, and they're fresh from that culture in Chile to our culture here. And so when he comes in the door and we greet them, he kisses my wife on this cheek and on this cheek. And in my culture, that's not okay. That was what they do in Chile. And I was even more shocked when his wife did that to me. And I did not I did not do it back. I did. I just looked at him and I said, "Oh, that's new." And then they realized they did something out of habit. You know, I mean, if you go to somebody and you meet them, what do you do? You know, "Hello, how are you?" But that's not good in every culture. In some cultures, that's offensive to reach out your hand like that to someone. So love is a principle. And everybody understands the principle of love. But how do you show that love? It changes from culture to culture. That's what we were talking about last week. Now, the Sabbath is a good example of what we were talking about. So here we have Isaiah 58:13 that gives us principles. Go ahead and take your Bible and turn back there and take a look at it. It says, if you turn your foot away from the Sabbath day. In other words, don't tread on the Sabbath. Don't disregard it. Don't treat it poorly. And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord and honorable. And it says that if you don't do your own things and don't speak your own words, that God will bless you with material blessings. And he will bless you with spiritual blessings. There's two blessings pronounced there. You see, God asks for a tenth of our income, the tithe. That's his. He calls that his. That's his money. And he asks us to return it to him. And he promises to bless the 90% above and beyond what the 100% would do without his blessing. And the tithe, or the Sabbath, is a seventh of our time. And God calls that holy as well. See, the tithe is holy. The Sabbath is holy, and the Sabbath belongs to God. It's always referred to as the Sabbath of the Lord your God. It's his day. And he asks us to return that day to him, to give that day to him. And so in Isaiah 58, it says that he will bless us if we do that. See, we used to work 7 days a week when I was growing up. We didn't know about rest. We just kept working, working, working. And when we finally decided about the Sabbath, my father and my mother, myself and my little sister, I can remember my dad wondering how we were going to get everything done and how we were going to make ends meet. But later, after we were keeping the Sabbath and he was not working on that day to make a living, he said, God is blessing us. We are doing better now that we are keeping the Sabbath than we did before we were not keeping the Sabbath. God promises you a physical blessing, and he promises you a spiritual blessing right here in Isaiah 58, 13, and 14. But there's nothing specific in this verse. Nothing at all is specific there. It says not speaking your own words. I'm speaking words right now, and they're coming from my mind and through my mouth, and they're coming to you. Is that my words? Or later on the walk, if you want to join us after potluck, we're going to go on a walk on the trail. And later on the walk, we might be conversing about any number of things. Would that be speaking my own words? You know, is taking the walk doing my own thing? It's not specific. It doesn't say what doing your or speaking your own words is. It's not specific. It just says. You get the idea, though. It says, don't be going about doing your own business on my day, he says. Seek my business on that day. So let's take a look at a few things. The Sabbath, there are certain things that are universal about the Sabbath. First of all, it was given before sin. It's the seventh day of creation. It says, so in Genesis 2, 1 to 4, the Sabbath was given as a part of creation. It was given to all mankind. That makes it universal. It was given to this world, the whole world, and it was given to all mankind. That means God expects everyone on the face of the planet to honor his holy day. It preceded Sinai, Exodus chapter 16, verses 22 to 23. He restored the Sabbath to Israel before Sinai. And so it became a part of their relationship between he and them. It was not tied to the Sinaitic covenant. It's not part of the old covenant, as some Christians have been taught. It is part of our relationship with God, just like he gave it before sin in Genesis. And then he ratified it as part of the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11, the fourth of the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, as I mentioned last week, are found in some form in every society of the world. Somewhere, if you go to any government anywhere in the world, the Ten Commandments will be found in the basis of that nation's laws. So you have the Sabbath. The idea of the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath, certain things about the Sabbath are universal. It applies to all people all over the world. And we see that as the apostles went out in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 14 and verse 44, they had the Gentiles begin to keep the Sabbath. So you have, there are 80 references to the Sabbath in the book of Acts. 80 references. 80 Sabbaths are referred to in the book of Acts. And this was among the Gentiles, not among the Jewish people. So the apostles of God, the apostles that followed Jesus, they understood that the Sabbath was meant for all people everywhere and not just for the Jews. And then if you turn to Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22 to 23, it says that the Sabbath will be kept throughout all of eternity. So see, the Sabbath preceded sin in this world, preceded the human condition. It was brought into this world as a gift from God. It was a relationship thing between God and us. It helps us get through this world until the end of time when Jesus comes and reestablishes his kingdom. And it says that the Sabbath will be part of the eternal kingdom of God. So the Sabbath is universal. That part is definitely universal. Now, this is a picture of the very field I used to play football on, a modern picture there in Junction City, Oregon. And the white uniforms are the Tigers. That's their home uniforms, and that's the team I used to play for. And it was on that very field that I was wrestling with this issue of whether I should be keeping the Sabbath or not. Was that something that I needed to do? I wrestled and wrestled with it. It wasn't something I wanted to do. As far as I was concerned, the Sabbath was not good news. It was bad news. I felt like it was going to ruin everything I ever wanted to be or do. And I was looking for every conceivable way to avoid it. I looked up encyclopedias like you wouldn't believe. I studied dictionaries. I talked to people. I did everything I could do in those days without the internet to try to figure out, was this something that I needed to do? And the more I studied it, the more glum I became, because it became so clear that the Sabbath was meant for every person on this earth and not just for certain ones. So then it became an issue of integrity and honesty. Would I be honest with God? Would I do what I knew he wanted me to do, what the Ten Commandments said to do? Or would I go my own way and rebel against God in this area? And so finally, on that very field, one day after that particular game, I decided that I was not going to break God's Sabbath anymore and that I would keep his Sabbath. And so then I went to, as I mentioned to you a while back, it's so ironic to me, that one of the biggest boosters for the football team in that city was a Jewish furniture store owner who called me up that week and tried his best to convince me that I didn't need to keep the Sabbath. To have a Jewish man try to talk me out of keeping the Sabbath. Do you find that ironic? I think that's ironic. And I told him that he said I should just be able to go to my rabbi and get a dispensation. And I said, I don't think I can get a dispensation from the Bible. I said, the Bible teaches that the Sabbath is what we're supposed to do. It's part of the Ten Commandments. So I said, I'm going to be keeping the Sabbath. And so I began to keep the Sabbath. Now, when I first started keeping the Sabbath, I knew nothing about it at all. I'm just a blank page. I walk into church the next week. All I knew is that I should be going to church on Sabbath. So I go into church, and I have no idea what to do. People stand up, so I stand up. People sit down, so then I sat down. I didn't know the hymns. I didn't know anything at all. I'm just there because I know I'm supposed to be there. The pastor started coming to my home and giving me Bible studies, and I began to learn things. But when I started keeping the Sabbath, there was only two things that I knew. Well, actually, that's not true. These five things I knew. These five specific things that the Bible says about keeping the Sabbath. Specific things. It says the seventh day of the week. So that's why I knew I shouldn't be playing football on Friday night and why I needed to start worshiping God on Sabbath. And so I came to church on the seventh day, Saturday. Then I also knew that the Bible said it was from sunset to sunset because that's how Bible days are counted. So I began to keep Sabbath on sunset on Friday night until sunset on Saturday night. And it was hard at first. It was really hard at first. And I was watching my watch all the time. That's kind of redundant, isn't it? I was watching my time device all the time. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. No work for the purpose of personal profit or personal gain.
It doesn't say all work, period. It's work that causes you to make a living or that you're doing for selfish purposes. Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 15 and 19, no buying and no selling for the purpose of profit or personal gain, same thing. And then Luke 4:16, we worship on that day. We go to church like Jesus did. So there are five specific things that the Bible says about keeping the Sabbath. Those five things I knew. So then when I start going to church, I have all kinds of questions about what do you do on the Sabbath? You know, what do you not do on the Sabbath? And I was, as a new Christian, as a new Adventist Christian, I was constantly confused by what this family did, and it was okay with them, but this family said they would try to be nice, but they would kind of look at me kind of funny and say, well, that's what they do, but that's not really the right way to keep Sabbath, you know. And then I would find this family did this and that family did that. And as a pastor visiting with people all through the years, I've discovered that there is a huge spectrum of what people think they can or can't do on the Sabbath. And there are no specific statements about that. Now, we have a few things in Ellen White's writings that we look at from time to time, but they're pretty dated, you know. You don't go out and chop wood and get a wooden bucket and carry water from the creek and have a bath on Sabbath. She talks about that. Because that's a huge amount of work, but nobody does that much work to take a bath these days, so is it okay to take a bath? You know, I'm going to look at that a little bit more. But she also said that Adventist Christians should take a bath at least once a month, just so you know. So here are some cultural things I came across, okay? Is it okay to go to restaurants on Sabbath? Some people do, some people don't. People who do say, well, I don't want my wife to work on that day, or other people, so we're going to go to a restaurant. Of course, they're spending money, and then it's for personal gain or, you know, or not. I'm saving my wife work while I'm making those people work in the debate, you know. Catered meals, the General Conference, North American Division, North Pacific Union, and our local conference. Many times Sabbath meetings will come up for this reason or that reason, and they'll cater the meal. They have to pay people to provide that meal. Is that okay? Some Adventists really question that, and they go, well, is that really something that our leadership should be doing? What about parking passes to the national park or a token to go across the toll bridge? In Hood River and White Salmon, did I mention this to you once before? Yeah, I think I did, that there was the big debate there was whether it was okay to pay actual money to cross the bridge, or was it better to buy the token and give them the token on Sabbath, you know? What about medical personnel being paid? That was something I came across right away because we had a doctor in the church, and some people kind of looked down their nose at him because he was, you know, getting paid for his services on Sabbath. And then later I found out that he was donating everything he got paid on Sabbath as an offering to God, but he was still accepting the pay and then turning it over to God as an offering. That was his way of reconciling that. Well, is it okay to use utilities on the Sabbath? You know, you pay for your water, you pay for your electricity, you pay for all these utilities that are coming into your home, your internet or whatever. And so I've actually known some Adventists who actually go out and they flip the breaker off, the main breaker on their panel box, because they don't want to pay for electricity on the Sabbath. So when Friday night comes, they use candles, you know, and that sort of thing, but they don't pay for the electricity because they're concerned that they're paying people, servants, to work for them. What about picking up your mail? That was one of the very first things I came across. This one guy, a mortician, who lived in our community, he would not pick up his mail on Sabbath. He said that was a violation of the Sabbath, and he would not do it. Other people would pick up their mail and not think anything of it. What about travel on the Sabbath? Is it okay to travel? Is it okay to get on a plane and travel somewhere, or on a boat? Or is it okay to get in your car and travel someplace and then have to stop and buy gas on the way? What about bathing on the Sabbath? Is it okay to take a shower on Sabbath? Some people think that's really wrong. You shouldn't do that. And they refer back to a quote from Ellen White where she says not to bathe on the Sabbath. So they take their showers before sunset on Friday and then don't or their bath and then don't bathe until the Sabbath is over. One guy that came to our church, I don't think he bathed at all, but that's kind of beside the point. Not this church. Some other place long ago and far away, you know, you wouldn't even know who or where. So I hope not, anyway. What about preparing meals on the Sabbath? Is that okay? How much preparation can you do on the Sabbath and still be okay? Some people think, well, I can chop up my salad and I can heat up what I made during the week, but I better not be making anything from scratch on the Sabbath. And another lady I knew, she would bake cookies every Sabbath afternoon and take them to all her neighbors because she was a single mom working full hours and working more than full-time hours. Way into the late hours of the day, she wanted to do something for her neighbors, and she read about how Ellen White used to take cookies to her neighbors and pray for them. So she said, I would like to do that. But the only time she had to do that was on Sabbath after church was over. So she'd come home every Sabbath, make a small batch of cookies, take them to her neighbors and ask them how they were doing and pray for them. Some people really criticized her for that and said she was breaking the Sabbath. Other people didn't feel that she was. And then there's that bunch of kids down in Portland that started raking leaves for the elderly and shut-ins on Sabbath, and they got very criticized for that. What about parties and receptions? Sometimes people who are new to the faith, they have extended family members that have big events on Saturday, like graduations or weddings. Is it okay to go to those things on the Sabbath or not? And if you do go, how do you get through that event and still keep the Sabbath? So all of these things are cultural issues. They are all cultural things. And there isn't a black and white statement to give you guidance on this. That's why we shouldn't label each other. Remember last week we talked about labels? That's why we shouldn't label people as liberal and conservative on a lot of these things, because you do not know what they are dealing with. And you do not know how they are trying to work things out in their life. I had a lady come to me one time, and such a sincere Adventist Christian woman, and had just baptized her a few months before. And so she says, Pastor, I am terribly troubled about something. I said, what's the matter? She says, well, she said, you know, when I saw the flyer in the mail and I came to the meetings, she said, I was so excited because I really wanted to get closer to God. And she said, I really learned a lot of good things here in those meetings. And she said, the Sabbath is one of the best things I've learned, and I really want to honor the Sabbath. She said, I have a big problem. I said, what's the matter? She said, well, before we were married, my future husband and I used to always go to the car races. We love going to the stock car races, you know, to the various car races. That's something we've always done. And we take our trailer and we make a weekend out of it. And I fix food for all of our family and for his friends and my friends. And we just have a wonderful time. It's something we've always done. But how do I do that on Sabbath? She said, Friday is okay. Sunday is okay. But Saturday, and she said, that's when most of our family and friends show up. What should I do? She said, how shall I deal with that? Now, you may not agree with my advice, but I quoted to her from the Bible, where it talked about Naaman and how Naaman accepted the true God of Israel, but that he had an issue. And that issue was that his master, the king of Assyria, depended upon Naaman, who, because the king was elderly and was not able to be as mobile as he would like to be, he had to lean on Naaman's arm to even get into the idol temple, and then Naaman had to help him kneel before the temple and had the god and had to help him stand up. And so Naaman comes to Elisha and he says, what do I do? And Elisha said to him, go in peace. That's what Elisha said. He said, go in peace. And so I said to her, well, I said, you don't have to actually go to the race. I said, you could prepare the meal, be the social person you are, be the host, and minister to those people and their needs. I said, but you don't have to go to the race. Maybe, I said to her, that's a compromise that you could consider. Well, eventually she decided to do that, and she reported that all was well, that her husband respected her need to not be at the race itself, but he also appreciated her being there during the weekend like she had always been, and being a part of the family and preparing the food. Now, you may not agree with me on that. I tried to help her make a decision and come up with a way to be right in her conscience and at the same time not completely detach herself from her family. But these are things that people wrestle with. I imagine some of you wrestle with some of this a lot in your life from time to time. How to deal with this and how to deal with that. And it's frustrating because we don't have a black and white statement that says this is how far you can go into the lake on a hot Sabbath afternoon. And yet all of these people are doing what they think is okay for them to do on Sabbath on that hike. Who said it was okay to go on a hike on Sabbath anyway? How far can you go on a hike on Sabbath? How far is too far on Sabbath? Well, the Jews wrestled with that. They said that the longest hike you could take on a Sabbath was 6 miles. Now, some of you are going, I'm well within my limit. I'm not going to, I have no danger of violating that, okay? But other people have much more endurance and they want to go farther. I know people who ride their bikes on Sabbath. I ride my bike on Sabbath. I know people who go jogging on Sabbath. I know people who do a lot of active stuff on Sabbath. They do all that stuff. Other people look at them and say, that's too liberal. And other people, the ones that are labeled liberal, they look at the conservatives and say, that's too conservative. And so what you end up with is friction among the brethren and sisters in the church over the Sabbath. And I think I mentioned to you one time, I know of at least one marriage that was in danger of ending. I think I mentioned it last Sabbath. One marriage that was in danger of divorce because of the Sabbath. They couldn't agree on how to keep the Sabbath, so they were about to break the seventh commandment over the fourth commandment. That's a picture of us a long time ago. It's kind of fuzzy, maybe, I don't know. So here we are on Sabbath. We're out in the mountains. The Wallowa Mountains. How many of you have ever been to the Wallowa Mountains? Okay, that's a lot of really cool places to go. So we were on a Sabbath hike here, and that funny looking guy with the ball cap, that was me, in case you can't put the two faces together today. And our oldest boy is there, and our youngest boy, and our daughter. And then that's my wife's father there with the backpack on, who passed away recently. And so here we are out in the Wallowa Mountains. So we decided to go on a Sabbath hike. And her dad says, let's hike up to Ice Lake. Okay, I said, without even stopping to consider how far away Ice Lake was. Turned out to be 11 miles away. So we hike all the way up. The good part of that day is that half of the distance was downhill. So we're going all the way up to Ice Lake. And so here's the big question. It was hot, middle of summer. We're hiking all the way up there, having a great time. We stopped to eat lunch on the way. We'd already had worship that morning, already had taken time for church, so to speak, in the woods. And so now we're up there walking all the way up to Ice Lake. So we got all the way up there. Everybody's hot. Everybody's really hot. So her parents take their shoes and socks off, and they put their feet in the water, and that's as far as they wanted to go. And my wife and I, we took off our shoes and socks, and we waded up to our knees, and that was as far as we were willing to go. My son just dived right in. The one with the fuzzy hair, he just dived right in. But Ice Lake is well named, and he came right back out. It didn't take him very long to realize that that was not Sabbath keeping for him. So out he came. What do you do about all that? Well, here's a different way of looking at Sabbath keeping that I think is biblical, but that's up for you to decide as you study your Bible. I do not look at the Sabbath as a day of don'ts. I look at the Sabbath as a day of do's. And that's the way Jesus looked at the Sabbath. The Sabbath was not a day of restrictions for Jesus. The Sabbath was a day of opportunity for Jesus. See, why does God ask us to lay aside our labor and our buying and selling and all the things that make up so much of our time during the week? Why does he ask us to do that? Because he wants to provide new opportunities for us instead of the typical stuff we do every day. I know one family who turn off all their electronic devices, the TVs, the computers, the pads, no electronics on Sabbath. That's one thing that they do to keep Sabbath because it minimizes all the distractions. And they want to focus on different things on Sabbath instead of the typical electronic things that they do during the week. When you lay aside one thing, it gives you the opportunity to do another thing. The emphasis with God is not on restricting us from fun. The emphasis on God's part is giving us an opportunity to do new things and have better experiences that laying aside these other things allows us to do. So in Luke chapter 6, verse 6, Jesus looked at the Sabbath as a day of healing. There are exactly 50 references, exactly 50, which I find interesting, in the New Testament to the Sabbath, exactly 50. And of those 50 references, 27 of those involve Jesus healing somebody. So you have the Sabbath to Jesus was a day of opportunity. He went about using that day to be a blessing to other people. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, as I mentioned earlier, to Jesus, the Sabbath was a day to to go and be with the people of God and worship God. In Matthew chapter 12, it says that he looked about the Sabbath as a day of an opportunity to do a lot of good things on the Sabbath. He said the Sabbath, when he was confronted, he said, if you have an ox or a donkey that falls out of the ditch, into a ditch, he said, you'll go and lift it out. He said, is it better to do good or to do evil on the Sabbath? So the Sabbath to Jesus was a day to do good. In Luke chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, he provided food on that Sabbath day. So the Sabbath is a day of doing good. Now, here's a little thing I'd like you to try to remember. As life goes by, and someday when you get toward the end of your life and you look back on your experience on Sabbath keeping, there will no doubt be times that you will look back on and you'll say, I don't think I kept the Sabbath very well then. No doubt you'll look back on your life and see that and say that. So here's what I would, if you're going to make a mistake about keeping the Sabbath, then make a mistake on the side of positive activity instead of negative inactivity. If you're in danger of violating the Sabbath, make sure it's on the side of doing good and of doing too many good things on Sabbath. I would rather, as your pastor, I would rather have you make a mistake in keeping the Sabbath because you did too much trying to do too many good things and making the Sabbath fun and enjoyable, rather than you trying to make the Sabbath a day of dull restriction. Please make the Sabbath a day of delight, a day of happiness. You will make mistakes. And you will look back on some of those things and you'll say, you know, if I had to do it over again, I think I wouldn't do that. That's no doubt going to happen. But please let it be on the side of making the Sabbath full of activity rather than making the Sabbath a day of wishing it was over. Does that make any sense? Here's a quote for you. All who love God should do what they can to make the Sabbath a delight, holy and honorable. They can do much to exalt the Sabbath in their families and make it the most interesting day of the week. We should devote time to interesting our children. In other words, to making things interesting for them. We can walk out with them in the open air. We can sit with them in the groves and in the bright sunshine and give their restless minds something to feed upon by conversing with them upon the works of God. And we can inspire them with love and reverence by calling their attention to the beautiful objects in nature. The Sabbath should be made so interesting to our families that its weekly return will be hailed with joy. In no better way can parents exalt and honor the Sabbath than by devising means to impart proper instruction to their families and interesting them in spiritual things, giving them correct views of the character of God. Parents, make the Sabbath a delight, that your children may look forward to it and have a welcome in their hearts for it. The Sabbath that Jesus gave us in his life and his teachings is a happy day. It's a wonderful day. It's a day that he looked forward to when he was able to touch people and help people in ways that the rest of the week just didn't provide opportunity for him to do. It was truly a day that he would call happy, a happy Sabbath. I wish that you would all go out at the rest of your life and that you would look at the Sabbath as a day of opportunity and not a day of restriction, that you would look at it as an opportunity to do good and to enjoy the things that God has given us that are wholesome and right and good. You're going to have diversity over whether you should watch those National Geographic videos on Sabbath or not. My wife grew up putting puzzles together, listening to the Bible and Living Sound on Sabbath afternoon. To me, I just couldn't play a game. To me, puzzles were games, and so to me, I just couldn't play a game on Sabbath like that. But I never tried to tell her she was a terrible, awful sinner for doing it. Somebody might call me more conservative in that regard on that issue. And somebody might call her more liberal in that regard on that issue. She's trying to keep the Sabbath. She's trying to honor God and keep her mind on things of God in heaven and do good. And I'm trying to do the same thing, but sometimes we do it in different ways. She doesn't have as much energy as I do at this point in our life. So for her to go out on a 6 to 10 mile walk on Sabbath is not keeping the Sabbath. But for me, as I'm out there walking, I'm usually talking with the Lord and I'm thinking about things and I'll pray for people as I pass by. And it invigorates me and I feel closer to God when I'm walking. And so it's keeping Sabbath for me. Others of you would say, no, I don't think so. But that doesn't make it wrong or right. It just makes it different. It's you and it's me. It's your relationship with God and it's my relationship with God. There's only five things that the Bible specifically says about how to keep the Sabbath. The seventh day, sunset to sunset, no work for the purpose of personal gain, no buying and selling for the purpose of personal gain, and going to church, worshiping God on that day, going to church in the woods sometimes or by the seaside, but having a time of worship on that day. Other than that, the stuff we argue about is cultural, personal, and I think when we get to heaven and we see a lot of those things that we argue about, we'll see that God was much more broad-minded about a lot of this than we tend to be with each other. Read the Bible, read the spirit of prophecy, try to follow it to the best of your ability. There will be differences among us as to how we see some of those things. And when that happens, respect each other. You can disagree, but don't be disagreeable in the process. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for the brilliance that you had in creating the Sabbath day. Not just in this sinful world, but that time you set aside to meet with Adam and Eve, and what you hoped would be a sinless human family throughout all the ages. But since sin came into this world, you've continued the Sabbath with us, meeting with us, purging our minds and our lives of the stuff in this world that is so easily, that easily defiles our minds and our bodies, our souls. Thank you for a day of sanity in the midst of a crazy world. Thank you for some calming and quietness in all the noise. Thank you for the love and the fellowship in the midst of all the loneliness. Thank you for the purpose of the Sabbath, to be a delight and a blessing to the world when so many people in this world are hurting. Thank you for the opportunities it provides us. Lord, help us in our individual ways and from the cultures we come from. Help us to understand the purpose and the meaning of the commands in the, regarding the Sabbath, and to honor the Sabbath day from sunset to sunset every week, and to make it be the best day of our week every week. Please give the parents in this congregation wisdom to know how to do that with their children and their situations. And help the rest of us, Lord, to not be judgmental. Help us not to look upon others and consider them better or lesser, but to pray instead of criticize. Enable us, Lord, to love all people as Jesus did, and to make the Sabbath day be a day of presenting the gospel to the lost world. So, Lord, we thank you for Sabbath. Thank you for making it a special day. Guide us as we leave this place. We do not in any way want to disobey the Sabbath commandment, but we also want to be relevant and learn how to make the Sabbath be a relevant part of our lives and bring into it the blessing that you intended. And so we say with all our hearts, welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. And in the precious name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. You will find as you leave today, there will be a little sheet here I put together for you, interesting facts about the Sabbath from the Bible. Please pick one up so that you can study it if you haven't already.